Georgia by Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haven. Today is Thursday, the 17th of November, 2016. On this date, in 1558, Elizabeth I succeeds Mary I as Queen of England, and the Elizabethan era subsequently begins. 1869, work is finished on the Suez Canal. 1903, the Russian Social Democratic Labor Party splits in two factions, the Bolsheviks and Mensheviks, or, as they are now known, the Republicans and Democrats. 1933, the United States officially recognizes the Soviet Union. 1950, Lamo Thondup becomes the 14th Dalai Lama. 1989, Czechoslovakia's Velvet Revolution begins when student demonstrations in Prague are shut down by riot police. Reformer Václav Havel is elected president a little over a month later. Birthdays are Danny DeVito, Martin Scorsese, and Susan Rice. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Misha is on the move again. Georgia's ex-president has launched a new political party in Ukraine with the goal of stamping out corruption on the national level. The party is called a New Force for Ukraine and will only be open to members who have been in parliament for no more than one term or have served in the executive branch for no more than 3 years. He says the party will be broadly pro-business, but won't let business interests get into parliament. It won't let business people join the party. Misha is also calling for snap parliamentary elections. Currently, the next one is scheduled for 2019. He says he won't meet with Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko until he agrees to early elections, and that New Force for Ukraine absolutely will not work with Poroshenko's solidarity bloc. Just a few days before announcing his new Ukrainian project, Misha had some harsh words for the current national movement leadership. He stated publicly he doesn't want anything to do with one or two people in the party who apparently weren't committed to winning the parliamentary elections. Widely assumed that he's referring to Giga Bokeria, who hit back against Misha. Bokeria stands by the party's decision to enter the new parliament, even though he thinks the elections were rigged in Otsneva's favor. He also thinks contesting the result in the streets, which Misha had some influential party members allegedly wanting to do, would have been bad for both the party and the country. Misha plans to stay active in Georgia even as he launches New Force for Ukraine. He made no indication that he's going to leave the national movement and assured his followers that he'll keep fighting for eventual victory in Georgia. However, Democracy and Freedom Watch reported that the party is considering getting rid of him and they'll hold a conference soon to choose a new party leader. On a separate note, Misha responded to speculation that Poroshenko would extradite him to Georgia now that he's no longer protected by his status as Odessa governor. He doesn't think Poroshenko will do that and said even if he is extradited, he has 600,000 supporters in Georgia who will demand his release. Misha is apparently a big fan of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump. He recently published a photo of the two men together on his Facebook page, and he told interviewers that Trump is a very talented and intelligent person. He also said that he predicted Trump's victory in the election a few months ago. Following up on visa-free travel to Georgia, EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini called on the European Union to step up and grant visa liberalization to Georgia. A proposal to lift visa requirements is currently being debated between the EU Council and European Parliament. It needs to be approved by a parliamentary vote in the European Parliament before it can become a reality. Mogherini will meet with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili when he comes to Brussels on the 1st of December. Defense Minister Levan Izoria announced detailed plans to reform Georgia's Army, Air Force, and Air Defense system. This comes after he announced that he's bringing back compulsory military service. Izoria said the number of Army brigades will be cut from 5 to 4 and reminded everyone that the 2007 decision to create the 5th Brigade went against the advice of Georgia's Western allies. The rebuilding of Georgia's Navy will not happen, though, due to its tremendous cost. Most of Georgia's Navy was destroyed in the August War and has not been rebuilt. In other defense news, aviation and air defense senior officials Georgi Sabadze and Sergo Ninova resigned this week shortly after being appointed by Izoria. The two are under investigation for putting political pressure on soldiers under their command during the national movement period. Both of them said they expected to be reinstated after the investigations conclude. Taliban forces assaulted a German consulate in Afghanistan on the 11th of November, but fortunately, Georgian soldiers were there to stop to fight them off. Georgian troops are in Afghanistan with a NATO Resolute support mission, and some of them are stationed at a German army camp near the Mazar-e-Sharif, the city of Mazar-e-Sharif, where the attack took place. At least 6 people were killed, 120 wounded, when a Taliban suicide bomber rammed a truck into a consulate building. The bombing was the beginning of an assault on the building by Taliban gunmen, which was successfully repelled. Germany's Foreign Minister Frank Walter Steinmeier expressed thanks to Georgia and its soldiers for helping keep their people safe in Afghanistan. Central Elections Commission issued final vote tallies for the October parliamentary elections. No surprises there. Voter turnout was 51.9% of eligible voters. Otsneba received 46.68% of the votes. National Movement received 27.11%, and the Alliance of Patriots received 5.01%. The reason is important is that President Mark Velashvili can now set a date for Parliament's first meeting, which needs to happen no later than the 19th of November. Media sources are speculating it will be on the 18th. Georgia's ombudsman responded to a report that came out last week alleging some members of the Avar community in Kakheti are practicing female genital mutilation, something that is illegal in Georgia, according to the report by the Institute for War and Peace Reporting, and people practicing it are claiming the right to do so under Georgia's religious freedom protections. The ombudsman called on them to stop the practice, and he said that members of the community don't know about the health risk and complications caused by female genital mutilation. He also called on the government to do all it can to end the practice. Vladimir Putin approved a parliamentary proposal to create a joint Russian-Armenian military force, as reported by Interfax. The joint force would defend Armenia's land borders with Azerbaijan and Iran and work within the Russian-led Collective Security Treaty Organization. Putin has signed a decree to order Russia's defense and foreign ministries to open discussions with Armenia towards creating such a force. Some analysts, such as Richard Garagosian, speculate that the joint force could eventually patrol the Georgian-Armenian border as well. Joint NATO-Georgian military exercises are still going on. They'll finish on the 20th of November. They're being held at the Joint Training and Evaluation Centers in Kurtsanisi and involve soldiers from Georgia, 11 NATO member countries, and 2 partner countries. The Russian Foreign Ministry condemned the activities, saying they're a threat to peace and stability in the region and complicate efforts to improve relations between Georgia and Russia. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen says, no way, the exercises are defensive in nature and are in no way a threat to Russia, which is true, and Russia hasn't mentioned the fact that it's occupying parts of Georgia and moving the ABL every chance they get as messing with relations between Russia and Georgia. Travel to and from Georgia, Economy Minister Dmitry Kumtsishvili met with the director of the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, or OPIC, in Poti. They discussed plans to build a new $100 million harbor in Poti, half of which will be funded by the organization, backed by the U.S. government. OPIC is also putting up $17 million in co-financing for the new medical center in Tbilisi. Patriarch Ilya II will depart for Russia this week, apparently right after the first meeting of parliament. He's scheduled to meet Russian Patriarch Kirill on the 19th of November. The festivities are for Kirill's 70th birthday and will be attended by other Orthodox patriarchs as well. Central Kiev went under lockdown on Tuesday as demonstrators protested outside government buildings. They're angry about poor economic conditions and rising prices for vital necessities such as natural gas and bread. They're demanding lower utility prices and higher pensions. Police and riot gear stepped in to block entrances to the presidential administration, central bank, and parliament building. Protest organizers included leaders of the opposition bloc, which is made up of supporters of former President Yanukovych and members of the former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko's party. Some government officials are accusing the Kremlin of orchestrating the protests in order to destabilize the government, which is the case. Ukraine's National Police Chief Khatia Dekanoidze, another Georgian reformer, resigned on Monday. She told Kiev Post that the reformers have failed to root out corruption with law enforcement bodies. She also said she doesn't have the authority or will to make good on her objectives. Alexander Tabatadze is the new deputy head of the State Security Service in Georgia. The position has been vacant since State Security Head Levan Isoria left to become defense minister. Tabatadze had been deputy justice minister for the past 3 years. Before that, he'd worked in law enforcement from the mid-90s until 2013. Georgia nominated its ambassador to Spain, Zura Pololikashvili, as Secretary General of the UN World Tourism Organization, UNWTO. He's currently the permanent representative of the UNWTO in addition to his ambassadorial role. He was also economy minister from 2009 to 2012. The new Secretary General will be selected in May 2017 and will begin a four-year term in 2018. National Forum leader Gubaz Sanikidze quit the party last Friday, but announced he will stay active in opposition politics. He'll hold consultations with other political figures. National Forum is part of the Otsneva coalition before quitting in April this year. They got less than 1% of the vote in the parliamentary elections. Gubaz Sanikidze is a bit of a nationalistic doofus, but has consistently been the individual in Georgian politics that has had excellent relations with Iran, which is a far-sighted way of going about doing things. Georgian Young Lords Association, or GYLA, called on the government to reconsider scrapping the office of the State Minister for Diaspora Issues. Prime Minister announced last month that the government would scrap the ministry and fold its portfolio into the work of the foreign ministry. GYLA warned that getting rid of the office sends a negative message to immigrants living outside of Georgia, suggesting the government no longer considers the issue a priority. Members of the Georgian Orthodox Church returned from meetings with NATO and EU officials in Brussels. They reported that both sides had been misinformed about the other. For example, they were assured that defining marriage between a man and a woman, one of the church's top priorities, is fully acceptable to Georgia's Western allies. The church said the country's NATO-Atlantic integration choice is up to the people, but the traditional values must be taken into consideration, whatever those are. Tbilisi City Court sentenced a man to 12 years in prison for the February beating and shooting of Free Democratic Party Secretary Alex Petriashvili. The two men hit him with a hammer and baseball bat before shooting him twice. He survived. One of the attackers was arrested in March and sentenced this week. While his accomplice hasn't been identified yet, the Interior Ministry is still investigating. Pro-opposition network Tabula TV announced it will temporarily shut down. It will continue reporting the news in English and Georgian on its website and social media platforms, however. They plan to relaunch on TV in about 9 months with a new format and programming. Tabula's director is Tamara Chergulashvili, who's married to national movement leader Giga Bokeria. Georgia signed a four-year agreement with the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization. The agreement will allocate $5 million for agricultural development in Georgia, mostly connected with livestock. The lari is taking a dive, dipping to a low of 2.4899 to $1 and the 14th of November. Situation has gotten bad enough that the Prime Minister publicly spoke to ease concerns about it. He said it's because the large current account deficit is eroding confidence in the currency, but the imbalance is correcting itself and the currency will stabilize over the next few months. Exports are down 7% year on year so far in 2016, despite the currency drop. Central bank sold $40 million to prop up the currency on the 12th of October, but has no plans to do so again. Trump Tower Batumi could get a new lease on life after having been left dormant for the past 5 years. A spokesman for Silk Road Group, which received a license to use Trump Tower brand back in 2011, says the project was put on hold due to high property prices and problems with the regional government of Jatta. The domestic situation has improved, and they're planning on following through on the project in the near future. Head of the Entrepreneurship Development Agency, Anna Kvaratskhelia, announced that 126 new enterprises have launched in 2016 with the support from Produce in Georgia. A total of 470 lari has been allocated through the program. The meat processing company Later Food plans to expand next year under the Produce in Georgia program. They're building a new $5 million factory that will be the largest in the South Caucasus, according to a report from Kommersant. Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation announced its continuing construction of a 19-kilometer section of the Tsitelikhi Digardabani gas pipeline, an important section of Georgia's east-west gas pipeline. Brandy producer Sadajashvili opened a new distillery in the village of Gremi in Kakheti, which will be in addition to their distillery in Tbilisi. They'll produce brandy for domestic and international markets. It's an $827,000 project. About $600,000 of that came from the government's Preferred Agro Credit Project. It will employ 150 people and produce 500,000 liters of liquor each year. International coffee chain Double B opened a cafe on Galaktion Tabidze Street near Freedom Square. Visitors can taste 23 different varieties of coffee. The company currently owns 70 cafes in countries around the world. Best thing the government could do would be to get rid of cars on that street. American band Aerosmith will play at the Black Sea Arena on the 20th of May, 2017. It's part of a European tour. Tickets are not on sale yet. Nino Basilea's film Anna's Life won awards at a few European festivals over the last week. It won Best Feature Film at the Evolution Mallorca International Film Festival in Spain, the Best Directing in the Arras Film Festival in France. It's Basilea's first full-length feature film and tells the story of a single mother who tries to emigrate to the United States to make life better for her son. Nina Tibalashvili won the bronze in wheelchair fencing at the World Cup in Pisa, Italy. Georgia's Irma Khetsouriani also competed in the event. Parliamentary news. The new Otsneva Parliament is filling out cabinet positions in parliamentary committees. This week they named Sopo Kiladze as chairperson of the Committee for Human Rights and Civil Integration. That position was offered to former Vice Speaker of Parliament Manana Kobakhidze, who turned it down for what she said were personal reasons. Former footballer turned MP Mikhail Kavalashvili will be chairperson of the Committee for Sport and Youth. There were some other appointments too. Patriots Alliance leader Irma Inashvili will be Vice Speaker of Parliament. Yikes. The National Movement also made its appointments. Dato Bakradze will be leader of the Parliamentary Minority Group. Same role he held in the previous parliament. Former Deputy Foreign Minister Sergo Kapanadze will be Vice Speaker of Parliament. National Movement's faction in Parliament will be chaired by Nika Melia, who is their campaign chief. The new parliament is required to meet for the first time no later than the 19th of November. The meme this week is a video from a camera in front of GeoCapital's office. GeoCapital is a microfinance organization active in Tbilisi and Kutaisi. A taxi backed into a planter, knocked it over, and drove out without doing anything. An hour later, an unidentified person in a hoodie was nearby, walked past, set the planter straight, and scooped up all the dirt and put the plant back, saving the plant. A small, nice, beautiful gesture. It has gotten over 150,000 views, 10,000 likes, and 4,000 shares in less than 24 hours. New Yorker has a piece on child brides in Georgia. Early marriage became more common after Georgia seceded from the Soviet Union. Now rural Georgia has one of the highest rates of early marriage in Europe. Jam News publishes the views of some Georgian foreign policy experts on Donald Trump. Somewhat surprisingly, Nodar Karsiladze of the Georgia Foundation for Strategic and International Studies expects Trump to have a more active policy in Eastern Europe than Barack Obama did. I think it's wishful thinking by Nodar there, who's associated with the defense ministry during Misha's day. But there's still plenty of befuddlement in Georgia about who the Republicans and the Democrats really are, and animosity towards Obama for a variety of reasons, some of them less healthy than others. I think more astute is former British ambassador to Georgia, Alex Hall-Hall, who writes about Trump's win for the Atlantic Council. She argues that it's even more important for Georgia than last month's parliamentary elections. Her prediction is that a change in policy won't be overt. Trump's America will continue to proclaim support for Georgia's Euro-Atlantic ambitions, but probably won't do anything to support those aspirations in practice. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty devotes the Power Vertical podcast to Trump's victory. They discuss support or lack of support the new administration could provide to Ukraine. They also speculate on personal relations that Trump could have with Putin. Foreign Policy has a piece on German Chancellor Angela Merkel, with the U.S. potentially retreating from its traditional roles as a guardian of democratic norms, values, and institutions. Germany needs to step up and play a larger role. They could become the leading normative force in the Atlantic region. While many of us fixate on Donald Trump's victory, Tornike Zurabashvili of the Clarion reminds us that illiberal populism is a big deal in Georgia, too. The Patriots Alliance got into parliament appealing to voters' distaste for cosmopolitanism. They want a state that puts the local interests of, quote, ordinary people first. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty covers the trial of your Russian Economic Development Minister, Alexei Ulyakayev, who's been charged with corruption in connection with the sale of a $5 billion stake in the state-owned oil company. He was arrested on Monday night on suspicion of taking $2 million bribe. Russia watchers think the scandal could scuttle the government's attempts to sell off a large stake in Rosneft, the world's largest, and I say with air quotes, publicly traded oil company. Publicly traded with air quotes because what it means in Russia is different than what it means in the UK or US. There's also a lot of insider Kremlin issues about what does this mean for how the oligarchs feel about Putin and vice versa. Misha publishes an op-ed in the New York Times on why Ukraine's reforms are failing to stamp out corruption. They're being obstructed by the real power brokers in Kiev who depend on a network of patron-client relationships to stay in power. He's now taking his talents and enthusiasms to Kiev so he can stamp out corruption at its source, if anyone's listening. Eurasianet considers what Saakashvili's resignation as Odessa's governor might mean for Ukraine's other Georgian reformers. Ukraine's deep-rooted corruption and rotten bureaucratic system might be more than the Georgians bargained for, and they haven't made as much progress as they'd originally hoped. Social Science in the Caucasus looks at numbers for reading and book ownership in Georgia. Unsurprisingly, ownership of books correlates with higher levels of education, as all Radarami readers will tell you. Some households report owning no books at all. For those who want to own more books, the cheapest and most interesting books in the Georgian language, Radarami, are available at most bookstores for only 2 lari. Freedom House releases its Freedom on the Net report for 2016. Georgia improves its ranking and is now grouped in the group of free countries, roughly on a par with Italy. The report found that online censorship is rare, although the government briefly blocked access to WordPress and YouTube. Those were isolated incidents when the authorities were trying to stop the spread of pro-Daesh videos and unauthorized sex tapes depicting Georgian politicians, so they didn't hurt the country's ranking very much. European Alumni Association of Georgia publishes its weekly podcast covering the following issues: visa liberalization, EU grants for rural development, Georgian honey exports to the EU market, expected budget deficit for Georgia in 2017, America's new president and the views of EU leaders, and several other topics. The podcast is in the Georgian language. You can find it on SoundCloud, so tell your Georgian friends to have a listen. All these things are posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 43, the percentage of Georgians with internet access. That puts it behind both Armenia and Azerbaijan. The Academic Swiss Caucasus Net, ASCN, is hosting their final conference of 2016 this week's 18th and 19th of November at the Courtyard Marriott in Tbilisi. The keynote speaker is Ed Lucas of The Economist, longtime friend of Georgia, who will be speaking about realpolitik and the new Cold War. Sign up, you can contact Tamara Bruner at info@ascn.ch. ASCN focuses on developing the social sciences in the region. The McLean Association for Children is putting on a fundraiser at Betsy's Hotel on the 19th of November. McLean provides occupational therapy and other services so that children with disabilities can live fuller lives. The festivities kick off at 8 p.m. There will be live music by Paul Rimple and the Natural Born Lovers, as well as by Sandy Higgs, followed by a raffle. For more information, get in touch with Tyler Green at Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, dot Green, G-R-E-E-N, at B-F, that's Bravo Foxtrot Consulting.com. The Association for People in Need of Special Care, or APNSC, is hosting an open door event at their daycare center in Isani on the 19th of November. They provide social therapy to adults with disabilities. Visitors will be able to purchase small items made by the organization's beneficiaries. For more information, you can call Julia Suchar at 995, country code 995-571-163173. QSI School is registering kids for soccer, basketball, arts, and crafts. Soccer and basketball are 8-week programs for kids aged 5 to 11. Arts and Crafts, a 5-week program for kids aged 7 to 13. Both programs cost $30 per enrollee. For more information, contact Mirka Blaho at Mirka, M-I-R-K-A, Blaho, M-I-R-K-A hyphen, that's in the middle of the line, Blaho, B-L-A-H-O, at grg www.qsi.org. Group of U.S. citizens shaken up by the results of the U.S. presidential election are starting a political discussion group. It's called Drinking Liberally, but you don't have to drink or be liberal to attend. The only requirement is being interested in helping improve U.S. politics for the better. First meeting is at Betsy's Hotel on the 26th of November at 7 p.m. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1978, from Boston, Massachusetts, this is The Cars with You're All I've Got Tonight.
You're all I've got tonight. You're all I've got tonight.